The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So the presidential campaign really is underway, but after Mairead McGuinness yesterday announced her withdrawal from the race for health reasons, where does Fine Gael and the campaign go from here? The party has said its national executive will convene in the coming days to talk about the next steps for its campaign because Mairead McGuinness had been the front runner for their nomination for the past couple of months. And of course, our hearts go out to Mairead, and she would have made a very good president. But that is not to be, because she's opted out, putting her health first, which is as it should be. But yesterday was not short of news for the race, as Gareth Sheridan also officially launched his campaign. Now, to talk about all of this, Barry McLaughlin, head of client engagement with the Communications Clinic, and Sean Defoe, our political correspondent. Good morning and welcome. Let's just talk about the news as it broke yesterday. Bit of a shocker, Sean.
Absolutely, yeah. Huge shock to everybody in the political system. I think even... we only really got word of it in the few minutes before 4 o'clock, and about 4 o'clock that statement landed that Mairead McGuinness was pulling out. And I'd like to echo what you said and just wish her all the best. That's the most important thing for her now, and we hope she makes a full recovery from whatever it is that she's dealing with. But it does completely turn the race on its head, not only for Fine Gael but for Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin in particular as well.
Mm. Barry, what did you make of it?
Well, I think the first thing, it was a shock because she was such a strong candidate. And I think we have to remember as well, like, Mairead McGuinness has been around a long, long time. She could have been the presidential candidate in 2011. She stood aside. In 2020, she became a commissioner in sort of less than ideal circumstances. So she was a very able person. And just last night, I was just looking up. There was a really good clip online. If you Google, maybe on someone else's computer, not your own, Mairead McGuinness, Nigel Farage. And she literally hands him his ass in the European Parliament. He's waving his flag and he's been triumphalist. And she said, listen, best luck to you. Off you go. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. So she's that kind of, like, she really strong candidate, somebody who actually fought really hard for Ireland during Brexit as well. So for Fine Gael, they're bereft. They've lost a really strong candidate. And I suppose to take what Sean said now, it raises a lot of questions. If you're running campaigns or planning to run campaigns, where do we stand now?
So, Sean, all the talk, it would appear to be of Heather Humphreys, who opted out of politics, we thought, because she wanted to spend more time with her family.
Yeah, she seems to be the name that's come forward most strongly among Fine Gael in the last 24 hours. And it is that question, does she want it? Does she want to step back? She spent 10 years around the cabinet table, had been a minister for an awful long time, had her own health issues, of course, towards the end of the last stall term. So we have to wait and see. No doubt the calls have already been made to her to suss out whether she would be interested now that the game has changed a little bit. Is it something that, I don't want to be cynical about it, but almost like Christmas with the family, you really want to see them run-up to Christmas and then you don't after a few days.
Mairead McGuinness was the only candidate at the end when Fine Gael went about selecting their candidate. So she was a shoo-in. However, Sean Kelly had talked about it, thought about it, and rejected it on the basis that 7 years of his life was too much to give.
And that he had more influence and power as an MEP and he liked to be at the front of politics was what he said at the time and decided not to run. Of course, you have Frances Fitzgerald as well. She hasn't been mentioned much in the last 24 hours, but I'd certainly put her in there as an ally of Simon Harris and someone who also said in her statement that she sort of, it was multifactorial why she wasn't running and she'd looked at the race and everything. And that's all well and good
until there's
a vacancy. Yeah. And Mairead McGuinness was a candidate that even getting the nomination was going to be difficult to get ahead of.
And I think for the point I made earlier, like, Mairead was such a strong candidate and I think it was easy for people to say, OK, well, let's step away. But, you know, you leave politics in November, you get off the treadmill, you have Christmas at home with the family, you have a lot of time to think about it. Do you miss it? Do you want to go back to it? So I think that there's a few candidates that... in Fine Gael will certainly be thinking about that the next couple of days as well. And I suppose the other thing is that what we have now is, when I was in here on Monday and we were talking about two candidates and will other people get on as well. So Fine Gael have a campaign but no candidate. Mm. Fianna Fáil have not yet made a decision what they're going to do, nor have Sinn Féin. And as you said, Gareth Sheridan launched his campaign yesterday, and I just Googled this morning and all that he talks about is Sean Gallagher.
Well, we're going to play a clip now because he obviously was launching his campaign, going to talk about his policies, but he took time out of talking about his policies to say this. We don't have that clip? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get it in a moment.
Summary, I suppose it was, he took time out of outlining his policies. The very first thing he said was Sean Gallagher and his, well, he didn't say Sean Gallagher. He was very specific to say, I'm sure it's not Sean Gallagher, but the circle around him had been planting stories in the media. He also said that he was getting question requests from journalists that were all the same questions, as if, you know, they were being all sent the same list of questions to ask. And that, of course, it would be too time consuming to reply to them all. And I think, as Terry Prone pointed out last night, if everyone's sending in the same questions, it's actually very easy to reply to them all. But it was just interesting that it was the first thing, and it set the tone yesterday that it was, I'm under attack here.
Now, Barry, talk to me about that, the idea of this kind of conspiracy, people associated with Sean Gallagher, but not Sean Gallagher himself, being responsible for these stories. You say the stories about them, Air Moldova and all that, they're easy to find.
Very easy to find. I mean, like, businesses, you know, file things, people report things, people register things online. Anybody who accesses the internet or anybody accesses it to company searches could find this information out. I think it's remarkable. He launched his campaign softly on Sunday in the Sunday papers. By Thursday, the first thing is Sean said, he's out complaining about the questions he's been asked. And he's going to get asked questions about his family. He's going to ask questions, like, they're going to be talking to people who went to school with him. I don't know who's advising him or whether he's getting good advice or he's listening to the advice. But I would have thought going out yesterday, your objective was very simple. Look presidential, look like somebody who could take on the job and do the job. And your call to arms would be, ask your local councillor to see, could you get you nominated to stand at a campaign?
So that's his most pressing task,
absolutely,
is to get a nomination.
And, yeah, and a couple of things. I mean, he mentioned two county councils, and, you know, I think four, he said he's got four as well. Let's look at Laois. Laois has got 19 councillors. Seven of them are independent. So he's going to have to swing all seven and get three more to get that nomination. Tipperary, the other one he mentioned, 40 councillors.
Now, do parties generally whip their councillors into voting a particular way? In other words, they won't give a leg up to someone who might dent their candidate.
Yeah, if they've got a candidate in the race, absolutely they will whip, and they will make sure that there is no one else getting in. The open question had been, what if Fianna Fáil doesn't field somebody? I think that question's done now with Murray McGuinness off the pitch. I think they absolutely will field a candidate.
Any theories as to who it might be? I mean, Bertie is supposed to be the front runner, but...
See, the thing about Fianna Fáil is, it's Micheál Martin's party. It is not necessarily the Fianna Fáil party when it comes to decisions like this. And he does not want Bertie to run. I don't think he likes Mary Hanafin. I don't think he likes Peter Power as candidates. Deirdre Heenan, he's openly said he hasn't been talking to her. So I don't know who they're going to get. If you rewound a couple of years ago, I would say Tony Houlihan would be his ideal candidate, because it just fits. He wants someone a little bit outside of politics who can kind of be above the fray. And I think now, with the different legacy we have of COVID, that's probably out the window and it's not going to be him. So I don't know who Micheál Martin individually has in mind, and opinion in Fianna Fáil is very split.
I mean, we all remember that when Mary McAleese got the nod, and the kind of Uisce Féidearthach that was going on at that stage when and Bertie showed Albert his vote.
I don't know who they will ultimately land on, but I think the absence of Mairead McGuinness means they have to run a candidate, because all of the thinking had been, who do we get that can beat her?
Absolutely. I would slightly disagree. I'm not certain that Fianna Fáil absolutely have to run a candidate. I suppose one of the things I have to look at as well is, what happens if we run a candidate and we lose? So I think running a candidate for the sake of running a candidate, I don't think it's a good look.
No, but if they thought they wouldn't have a chance against Mairead McGuinness with whatever slate of candidates they're thinking about, with her gone, I mean, Catherine is maybe too...
Well, she's a bit like...
Vanilla a candidate?
Yeah, maybe a little vanilla, but she's vanilla in the Michael D sense of vanilla, which will help her. But she's also, like, she's much closer to People Before Profit than the Sock Dems, you know, who have nominated her. And I think in the wash of a campaign, when that comes out in debates and some of the views she has that are a bit more extreme than the centre, the middle class centre left likes to vote for. Like, I've spoken to people in Labour who said, yeah, we're backing her, but I don't expect many of my constituencies to vote for her.
Barry, do we have an idea of the kind of candidate there might be an appetite for? People have got very used to Michael D. You know, he's an elderly man. He's a bit enfeebled, but very articulate and outspoken. And there's kind of affection for him. Even people who didn't like him at the beginning have kind of grown to love him. To replace him, do you need, as Gareth suggests, youth and vigour, or do you need more of the same?
Well, I mean, youth and vigour to do what? I mean, that youth and vigour is just not, it's not a slogan. It's not, you know, I'm younger than the other guys, so what? I think we were sitting here on Monday, and one of, I think we talked about the fact we want a president we're proud of. We're looking at a president and go, does that person do a good job on behalf of us? Do they speak for the people? Are they someone who's actually, like, and this is the question as well, are they going to get rattled or upset or annoyed by every little article or piece or comment?
And that brings me to Gareth and launching his campaign, Gareth Sheridan, and when he had this to say.
But just one thing I wanted to bring to your attention is that there seems to be somewhat of a coordinated attack taking place on my character by people associated and in Sean Gallagher's circle. I'm not saying for a moment that Sean is behind this or involved in another way. You know, at McGill a couple of weeks ago, he actually encouraged participation, asked the media to be nice to candidates that were brave to come forward and encouraged candidates to put their hand in the ring. And hopefully that's still the case. But some of you in the room know and called it about. That's all I'll say on that. You know, I wish Sean nothing but the best in whatever he's working on now. I'd just like to be very upfront and make sure that you're aware of the situation that we're facing. Perhaps somebody is taking our breakup a little bit worse than me.
Okay, what did you make of that, Barry, as a communications expert?
Well, it reminded me, I was talking to somebody about this morning, a couple who break up and the guy is still saying 4 years later, well, of course, you know, she's taken it quite badly and he's the only one talking about she's taken it quite badly. The question I have is Sean Gallagher living in that man's head?
Hmm.
I think you know, that there was nothing there, as you said, Sean. He went out, first of all, to say, I want to address these issues. There was nothing there, he said, to talk to the electorate. There was nothing there, he said, that actually indicated that he was dealing with the issues that people will vote on in a president. And even the statement itself, like, this kind of open-ended, those of you in the room know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Well, that's one of the first things in journalism, you know. Ambiguity excites my curiosity. Tell me more about that. And the quote that he said there, he said, we want the media to be nice to people. But you have to hold people to account. People are entitled to know where people come from, what their backing is, who they're associated with.
When you look back on some of the storms in teacups as we now see them, some of them were very cruel. If you think of what happened to Dana, when you think of what happened to Aidy Roach, not even an attack on Aidy, but an attack on her brother, attack on her through her brother. I mean, none of this is very fair, but you can't ordain fairness.
No, and it's kind of become the way of the presidential election, for good or ill, that they do get this absolute whipping through it, and it should be something that every candidate is aware to. But even just some of the language that he used, I mean, he referred to himself in his opening monologue as a pharma tycoon, which initially I thought was a tongue-in-cheek play on an Indo headline that had been made earlier in the week, and then went on to say later that he'd never used the word tycoon in his life. And when it was pointed out to him, he used it in his opening statement. He was sort of like, oh, well, you got me there. But this whole idea as well, I mean, I'm in the age demographic he is supposedly targeting of, you know, I should get somebody young in. Awful lot of young people love Michael D. There was something charming about him and almost like grandfatherly like. So just because you're young doesn't mean you're going to get the youth vote.
Now, let's talk about what they can do in the presidency. And we had a discussion about this earlier in the week, Barry. But this is what Gareth Sheridan had to say about housing.
So Sunday when I announced, I did say that housing would be key to my platform. We're in a position now, which I've been constantly speaking about, where our younger generations are condemned to a life of exorbitant rents, no opportunity to purchase a home of their own and start a life of their own. So I want to reinforce that I want to be a representative and a voice for our younger generations, but also a representative for everyone, because the issues facing our younger generations are felt by all.
Now, how does he plan to tackle housing? Well, he says that as president, Article 45 of the Constitution empowers him to tackle the government on the housing crisis because it states, according to him, through your job, you should be able to afford to have a life here. But what does the Constitution actually say? Well, the article he pointed to, Article 45.2.1, says the state shall direct its policy towards securing that the citizens may, through their occupations, find the means of making reasonable provision for their domestic needs. So, Barry, you're a lawyer as well as a communications expert.
Yeah, I was looking at my constitutional law notes last night going, that's a very interesting interpretation. Basically, what he's saying is he has the power to hold the Dáil to account on any issue he feels is important under that article. Now, I don't know what he means by that, because the opposition hold the government to account. The people hold the politicians to account. All the president can do is make sure that any law that's put in front of him or her is constitutional, doesn't need to be looked at again. So, I mean, he's actually talking about meddling in executive functions. Mm. He's talking about meddling in opera, and that's not something he can do.
It's interesting that even if you look at that and say it refers to housing, that the citizens may, through their occupations, find the means of making reasonable provision for their domestic need. In other words, the unemployed have no right to housing.
Yeah, that could be an interpretation.
Because you've no occupation, house.
No house, yeah. It did remind me a bit of the Conor McGregor-style interpretation of the Constitution that's been going on when he was saying that he's going to summon the Dáil and demand that they do this, that and the other. And the President can technically summon a convene a sitting at the Dáil, but also any speech that he gives them has to be approved by the government if they were to do it. And I also had to point it, like, going on housing I don't think is necessarily the worst idea in the world, or at least pointing it out, maybe not as the centrepiece of your campaign, given the President has no power. But
and
he also,
given that the President gets a magnificent free house.
A magnificent free house, and that he also revealed yesterday, he's kind of campaigning on this thing of, I'm an Irish immigrant and I had to come home and I'm still renting in Dublin and finding it difficult. But he also owns a house in Utah, rents another house in Utah, and has €500,000 in the bank, which a lot of people who are maybe looking to try and come home from Australia or America or whatever would be rather envious of.
Now, the question of whether or not other people seeing the field narrowed out might throw their hat in the ring. For example, a text here, pity that Michael McDougall is not running. Says one. Mairead McGuinness was the only presidential candidate, full stop. Other than Sean Kelly, no other person mentioned or already in the race has a presidential way about them. Mairead is such a loss to the country. We're all wishing her well. But that gap now in the market, as it were, do you think other people might be tempted to seek that nomination through councils?
I'm not sure about the councils. The name that was texted to me most often in the hour following the announcement was Mairead McDonald. Does this open the field for Sinn Féin's run? And where it was, I think, a very open question whether she would have beaten Mairead McGuinness. That would have been a fascinating contest between the two of them if she wants to go ahead and doesn't
want to. Would she beat Heather Humphreys?
I think she would. Yeah, I think if Mairead McDonald entered the field now, I think she would be the favourite to go in. Heather Humphreys, I just think that Mairead McDonald has a way of reaching voters that wouldn't otherwise vote to Sinn Féin. She'll reach into the middle class and people who like her as opposed to her party, and just has a draw beyond anyone. So she'd be one I'd be fascinated to see. Because other than that, I mean, you're looking at Michelle O'Neill, don't think that's going to happen. John Finucane and Lynn Boylan, don't think they have a chance.
I mean, we're all, we want that 32 county republic someday, and the sooner the better. But at the end of the day, Northern candidates don't fare well in presidential, be it Martin McGuinness or Austin Curry or... Yeah. Whoever, Michelle O'Neill, I couldn't see.
No, and even if you go back quite recently, 2018, the 2019, the European election, Mark Durkin was a candidate in Dublin. People forget that.
Yeah.
And it just bombed. The idea was we're trying to reach out to everybody. People just went,
and
no,
then John
Finucane
and Colm Eastwood, those kind of names, they're not going to...
Haven't got really any traction. I mean, Michelle O'Neill would be interesting, but I, as Sinn Féin, I just don't think you can have the first ever Republican First Minister of Northern Ireland and then say suddenly she's not interested in the job, having made a big deal of being a First Minister for all up there.
I think as well, Sean, just on the whole thing of Michelle O'Neill, if she comes from the North, there will be that Sinn Féin will have to answer questions out. Well, you have this policy here, you have this policy in the North. How is that going to work for the whole of Ireland? So that opens up that kind of can of worms as well.
Okay, so all to play for as we speak this morning.
Wide open. Yeah, it's going to be... We were complaining it had been boring up until now, the presidential race. It's going to be far from boring.
And can Gareth Sheridan regain the lost ground, perhaps, from his launch?
I don't think he's going to get a nomination.
I don't think he's going to nominate. I mean, I think just looking at those figures, he'd have to... And the two councils he picked... They happen to have a significant number of independents, and I said that's the reason he's picked them. Like, if he's telling us what he's been telling us, he's been talking to independents since February or March, and in August none of them have decided to mark his dance card. I think he's really, really struggling.
All right, thank you both very much for joining us. Barry McLaughlin, Head of Client Engagement at the Communications Clinic, and Sean Defoe, our political correspondent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.